If you would please join me in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Given that Gideon representative is here in Sanford and the speaking of missions, I almost want to treat this like a mission Sunday, if you don't mind, and speak toward that direction. Matthew chapter 9. Hear the word, the inerrant, inspired, holy word of the risen Lord from verse 35 of chapter 9. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Last Sunday evening in our family nights, I spoke from chapter 10 of the book of Matthew. And chapter 10 is one of the five discourses that Jesus gave, which is one of the five of his major emphasis of teaching. Chapter 10 is known as the missions chapter. But don't look at missions using it in the word as going off as missions, but it is the mission of the church. It's what Jesus speaks of in chapter 10. And if you look briefly at a few things there, here in chapter 10 we have the naming of the 12 apostles. And then Jesus sends out the 12. But then as he sends them out, he tells them immediately that there's going to be persecution. Because they hated me, they're going to hate you. And so you are to be wise as serpent, but innocent as doves. And then he follows that up very quickly with one of the 365 times that he speaks on, "Do not fear. Do not fear because I am with you. Do not fear about what to say, because the Holy Spirit will give you that when it's time to say it," etc., etc. And then he closes out chapter 10 with saying that those who are obedient to that charge, to that mission, then there are rewards. Well, we are to look at chapter 10 in two lights. One, it was the charge of the disciples to go out. And as we have been taught and know, the disciples were the foundation of the church. So that tells us that whatever the disciples did is to be what the church is to do. So here, as you read through chapter 10, as we discussed it last week, whatever they did, we are to do as the church. It's the mission of the church. Now, that mission of the church takes on many facets, but whatever Jesus Christ did, the disciples did. And whatever the disciples did, we, the church, are to do. That's the mission, the charge of the church. Well, quickly, you might say, well, what about the Great Commission? I thought that was the charge of the church. It is. The Great Commission is the summation. Those couple of words that says, "Go out and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them in my name." Okay, that's the charge of the church, but chapter 10 gets into delineating a little bit more about exactly what is going to happen and what we are to do, but then also the persecution, the challenge, the resistance that you're going to meet. You might as well get ready for it. All right? But what I would like to give you here in this short message, supporting a little bit of what Sanford has given, but then also making it into the larger scope of the mission of the church, is the preview of chapter 10. And as we discussed in Sunday school, what was the motive for Jesus sending out the 12? What was the initiating factor that was used to cause Jesus to do what he did, but then also to send out the 12 to give them and to have them go out? Well, I just read that to you in chapter 9, verse 35 and following. Look with me at verse 35. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." All right, there's Jesus Christ's ministry. Now, if you go down in chapter 10, verse 7, you will see that he told the disciples to do exactly the same thing. Go out and preach the kingdom of heaven. Go out and heal every disease. go out and cast out demons, go out and address every affliction. So what is the responsibility of the church? What is our call, our mission today? To preach the kingdom of God. To preach the kingdom, the coming kingdom of heaven, which means the coming, the manifestation of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. That we are to preach in such a way that it heals. Now, I'm not going to get into the debate of miracles of healing, etc., etc. But please know that healing takes place in many, many facets. Healing can be physical. It can be by the simple act of God. God can do whatever he desires to do at any moment in time he desires to do it. But healing also takes place emotionally, spiritually, and we are instruments of that as we conduct the business of the church. And so whatever Jesus did, the disciples were to do, and whatever the disciples did, that's what we, the church, are to do. Me here preaching right now is following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, following in the footsteps of the disciples, preaching the coming kingdom of God. Are you prepared? Sanford, passing out Bibles, hoping that that will lead to salvation, bringing a member into the kingdom of God. But then he adds, the harvest is there, but the laborers are few. And see, there's where everyone in this room should, maybe I should use shall, that stronger imperative, shall, step up and be a part of that gathering of the harvest. Sanford and the Gideons are doing their thing. We go to Belize. The youth are going to Chesapeake. We are doing a lot of those things, but we need more. We need more because the harvest is going to be a huge, massive harvest when Jesus Christ comes to take up his church. And so we need to be a part of that. But yet I have not yet answered the question of what was the motive? What was behind Jesus Christ doing what he did in his coming? What was the motive behind Jesus Christ sending out the 12? We find it in verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, let's just begin taking that sentence apart. First of all, he looked at the crowd, he had compassion, I'll get back to that, because they were harassed and helpless. Now, please know, and we know, we've heard this story so many times, the first century church, the first century, let's go outside the confines of the church, the first century Jewish nation, what was in turmoil in many regards, but as Ezekiel gives us, I believe it's chapter 37, that it was in turmoil because their leaders were false shepherds. Their leaders were false teachers. They had not in mind caring for the people. They had not in mind the concerns for the commoner, the common person. And so the people of Jerusalem of that day were left to their own design. They were left to their own care. And what do sheep do if there's not a shepherd there to tend them, to guard them, to provide for them, to care for them, etc., etc.? They wander. And we do. And so here, when Jesus Christ looked at his brothers and sisters of the Jewish nation, it says they were not only helpless, but they were harassed, meaning the leaders not only left them to their own design, but what they were doing was actually adding to their issues and adding to their problems. And so he looked upon them and said, these dear people need help. And he had compassion. See, there is the motivator. There is the driver. There shows the heart of our Lord and Savior. He looked at the person, knew of their troubles, knew of their trials, knew of their heartaches, and you hear his heart. And he had compassion. Compassion. A sympathetic awareness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. See, compassion is a twofold thing. It is looking at others in a sympathetic awareness of where they are. I know you. I know your troubles. I know your heartaches. I know your life. I know where you are. Now, what would I be if I stopped there? A very uncaring person. But yet the other side of compassion means that I see you in your heartache. Jesus sees you in your trials. Jesus sees you in your discomfort. And he has brought the cure. He has brought the thing to alleviate that distress. First of all, in himself. For he is what? The great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know him. The good shepherd knows his people. His people know him. By the sound of his voice, they respond. So those of you who are redeemed, who are of the house of God, who are people of God, he who has eyes to see and ears to hear, you can hear the shepherd. And that brings comfort. That brings peace. Doesn't necessarily alleviate the trials. We spoke of suffering earlier. We live in this life. We live in this world. Everybody in this room's got a story. But yet the joy and the peace that come from knowing that you have a shepherd that cares, that has compassion, that has brought the very thing in salvation that will bring you peace and alleviate that distress. That's why we do what we do. That's why Sanford does what he does. Compassion. Why do we go to Belize? Paint a school? Build a house? Conduct VBS? Play ball with the kids? Yes, yes, and yes. But what is the real reason we go to Belize? Those folks have captured our heart. Compassion. Why are the kids going to Chesapeake in the summer? Now, they don't know them like I know folks in Belize. But yet the call of the Christian is to bring to their world that compassion. And so when they travel to Chesapeake, they will be, building houses, decks, working on. But see, that's just the instrument to get us there. But then we are the hands and feet of Christ, bringing the compassion to the people. Why do we work at Iredell Christian Ministries? Why do we go to Power Cross? Why do we support the hospice house? Why do we do these things, reaching out in our ministry, in our different opportunities of ministry? Why? Verse 36. Jesus had compassion on the people. We have compassion on the people. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. As the parable of the talents teaches us, the master's gone away. He's given every one of you a talent. He's given every one of you a gift. One day he's going to come back and say, okay, what'd you do with that? Well, I was afraid of you. I buried it in the backyard. Not a good answer. Not a good answer. So why do we go to the mission field? Why do we pass out Bibles? Why do we support the ministries here in Statesville and Iredell County? There's a lot of peripheral reasons, but I hope the core reason is what we see here. Why did Jesus send the disciples out? They needed a shepherd. Because he had compassion, he sent them out. I hope that's why we do what we do. Now, let me make this a bit larger and bring it back inside the walls of this church. Because many could say, and I've heard this many times, why do you go to Belize to build houses when we need one right here? Why are you in Statesville working over here when we could do this over here? Why do you do all... Okay. See, again, the harvest is there, but the laborers are few. Okay, some of us are called to Belize. Some of us are called to Iredell Christian Ministries. Some are called to Power Cross. There's others in this room that can be called to do things locally that we aren't doing. Many will look at Pastor Tim and say, well, that's your job. No. No. Let me bring it a little bit closer into the walls of this church. It speaks of a harvest. It speaks of a gathering time. Now, all of you have done gardening or are familiar with gardening. You don't harvest a crop until when? It's mature. The first time a tomato plant sprouts up, David Sides is not looking for tomatoes on a little 4-inch sprig. But he will bring it to that time of harvest. Okay, to me, that says that we are to be about the Great Commission, going out and making disciples. But it says make disciples, not converts, which means you come back into the walls of the church and you mature a people, preparing them for the harvest. Okay, that's what we do inside the walls of the church, discipling, caring, nurturing for each other. You don't have to go to Belize to answer this call. You can do it right here. Those of you who take the folks in our church to the doctor because they can't drive or they need help understanding what the doctor is saying. Those who are down and out and they need caretakers to come and take care of them for a season. That's part of the compassion that you're sharing. See, every one of us in this church is a missionary. Every one of us in this church is a minister. Not a preacher, a minister. To whom do you minister? To whom do you minister? To whom do you reflect Jesus Christ's compassion? And we have so many ways, so many opportunities to do that. And I hope we are. Sanford takes Bibles into prisons, schools, hotels, etc. I preach the word, take a mission team to Belize. Andy and Leanne are taking the group to Chesapeake. Anna works at Iredell Christian. Jeff and Cindy at Power Cross. The list goes on. Juanita volunteers at Gordon's. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Many of you have taken Miss Betty to the doctor. David Sides and I get to ride to help him go to his doctor's appointment sometime. And so we all, Susan's doing Good News Clubs. Jill and Tim are doing youth. We got 12 adults involved in youth. Bunch. 12, I think. 12 adults volunteering to take care of youth. Better you than me. But see, there's so many ways we can do this. Let me bring one more level in here. Deacons. What is the first description of the diaconate ministry in the church? Service of compassion. In many regards, deacons, you're that first line of showing the compassion of Jesus Christ to the church. The elder don't have that title. Motive. As I said, we spoke a lot about this in Sunday school, and this reveals our very heart. Motive. Why do we do what we do? Why do we serve the way we serve? Why are we involved in the different ministries? Jesus said, go and make disciples. Okay, there's our charge. But why do we go? Why did Jesus go? Why did Jesus come? Why did he send the disciples? Compassion. The sheep are scattered. The sheep are lost. And they will continue to be lost until they come to understand and know the Good Shepherd. I am simply an under-shepherd. You are simply an under-shepherd pointing to the shepherd. But that's why we go. That's why we go. And we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would use those efforts to, A, bring them into the kingdom, but then also mature us in the kingdom, preparing us for that harvest. But I'll echo Jesus' words once more. The harvest is plentiful, the harvest is there, the laborers are few. If you are not involved in one aspect of the ministries of the church, I would encourage you strongly to consider where you might step in, because the laborers are few, but the harvest is coming. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for bringing a ministry of compassion to the lost sheep. You have brought that love and care to us, allowing us to call upon you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, I do pray for the many aspects of the ministry of the church, outside walls, inside the walls, foreign countries, around the corner. Father, place on the heart of every person in this room encouragement in the ministry they might be in, but also those that may not be involved, that you would prick their hearts to draw them close to one that would help them share the compassion. Lord, we thank you so much for this ministry of compassion. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.